Blog Talk Radio.
You ever find yourself being afraid that you don't know what to say? Seems like I did it all alone. I realized I couldn't do it on my own. I used to want to understand your plan. Now I wanna see your hand. My heart is open so wide. Even though I'm falling, you got to have my mind. And I'm all your life. I need you to be as close as you can be.
Can help you.
Sometimes he's just waiting on us to ask him to help me, Lord. Help me defeat this. And it's real. It's possible. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited what God is going to share with us today and about this new and living way. We're going to ask Pastor Bill. I don't know if she's available. She's available to pray and help. Okay, Pastor Bill from Akron, Ohio. Will you give us a word of prayer, please?
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Yes, Pastor. God bless each and every one. Amen. And thank you for that selection. Amen. The scripture I like to share is coming from Hebrews, the 8th chapter and verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we want to say thank you for this day, Father God. We're just praying for each and everyone on this broadcast, Father God, praying for those that are listening, those listening by internet, and those that had called in, Father God. We're praying for our pastor. We ask that you'll continue, Lord, to be with each and every one of us, Father God, as we open up our hearts to this word today, Father God. Have your way right now, Lord. We bind up anything and everything to try to come up against this broadcast, come up against our pastor, any of the listeners, Father God. We're binding it up right now, Lord, because we know that you are in control, Father God, and so we want to be attentive to your word today, Father God, that that word illuminate in our spirit, Father God, that we're able to share it with others, Lord. We ask that you be with those that have been affected by the hurricanes, Father God. Lord, we know that you're making a way for them as well, Father God. So strengthen them, Father God, and they may have lost a lot, and we know that's all materialistic, but still, Father God, we know that you're working things out for their good. Be with those who are bereaved today, Father God. Lord Jesus, give them a peace, Father God. For you said in your word, you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on thee. So help them,
yes,
Father God, to get closer to you, that they are,
yes,
able to have that peace that only you can give.
Yes.
And Father God, with all those that are sick and shut in, Father God, you said in your word, by your stripes we're healed. And Father God, all we have to do is stand on that word and believe what you say, Father God, for your word is faithful and true. Be with those that are going through. We know you're way out of no way, Father God. And all we got to do is put our trust in you, Father God. Now, Lord, be with our pastor as he teaches this word today, Father God. Use him, Holy Ghost, in a mighty way. Help us all to open up and receive the word, that we all may be on one accord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all things. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank God for you, for your journey. I thank God that you're back safe and you're in a safe,
amen,
place. And we praise God,
yes,
for all of that and more. Mm-hmm. And also, we want to continue to pray for Evangelist Sharon. I'm not sure what's going on, but when I find out, I will let you all know. That's for sure. But we'll just keep her lifted up as well. Okay. On yesterday, we left off talking about the facts. And if you will give me a moment, I'm trying to find out my notes here. If you all will just bear with me for one moment. Trying to find my notes here. Okay. Hold on.
been helpful.
Okay, I think I'm back now. Our first scripture we want to share was one of our foundational scriptures for this week is in Proverbs 12 and 28. Proverbs 12 and 28. And I'm going to give you all these scriptures, then we'll talk about the subject a little bit. And then we'll get to the facts. So in Proverbs 12 and 28, it reads thus, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, 12 and 28. Good men and women travel right into life. Sin's detours take you straight to hell. Ooh. Amen.
See, life he's talking about is everlasting life.
Yeah.
And this life is in Christ. This life is the way of righteousness. And the only one I know that is righteous is Christ. So that's why you have to be in Christ. Because once you're in Christ, you're into this new way. Not the old way. Because the old way leads you straight to hell. Trying to live by the law. Remember the law was called the law of sin and death. We may not get into it this week. But that's what the law is called. It's called sin and death. That's what the law. And if anybody understand anything about law, law works like the law of gravity.
Amen.
Where there is no gravity, then you'll just float away. So the law of gravity works. That keeps you grounded. But you go in space, and there is no law of gravity. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
So it's like, what law do you live by? Well, when you live by the law of the life that is in Christ, or the spirit of life that is in Christ, according to Romans 8. When you're living by that law, it's different, brothers and sisters. You don't operate on the same level. And that law requires you to have faith in the word of God. But anyway, this path, this pathway that we're talking about will lead you to eternal life. You'll never have to die. Hallelujah. You pass from life unto eternity. What a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing to know that you don't have to deal with death. You know, that's what most people are afraid of. They're afraid of death. Man, look at the relief, the relief you're going to get by just being in this new way. You ain't even got to worry about death. Because Christ became our righteousness. Over in Hebrews 10, in Hebrews 10, let's see if I can get this back again. Hallelujah. Sorry. Well, we'll get it back. Pray everybody's with us here. Hebrews 10 and 20. It's part of our foundational scripture, so let's go there, please. And then we'll deal with that. Let's see here. Okay. Here, let me go ahead and read this verse. It says, by a new and living way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And I'm going to read 21, too. It says, and having a high priest over the house of God.
Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, 20 and 21, Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. Amen.
Yeah. That gives you the right to come boldly before the throne of grace. That's your
Amen.
Right right there because you're in Christ. Now, remember, before Christ came, you were not a priest. Hey, let me be clear on a couple of things because I had said on yesterday I was going to deal with the fast. And this is probably the first fast right here is the fact that you are a priest. Start seeing yourself as a priest. Then Christ becomes your high priest. See, the only one could touch the high priest or go to the high priest was a priest. So God made us a priest. Remember, the high priest of the law could only go in once a year into the holiness places, or you could just say the holiest place on earth. But now, by the blood of Christ, the last saint can have daily access to the holy place in heaven because Christ is seated at the right-hand side of God. So it is a newly made way. I just need to say this a couple of times. It is a newly made way and a living way. It is so called because Christ was newly slain and because he is being the way of God. It is alive evermore. Ooh, I like that. Alive forevermore. If you be so kind to read Hebrew, I would read John 14:6. See, you got, these are facts. You got to know these facts. People, you don't have to debate which way the way is. Christ is the way. The truth. Let me tell you that. Well, should I go to this church? Should I go to that church? Should I be part of this ministry? What is your problem, man? No. None of that stuff. In John 14:6, I'm going to read this one first, and then we'll go to the book of Revelation. Because you gotta know who's the way and stop playing with this, okay? In John 14:6, it reads thus. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen. In the Message Bible, Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. Amen.
So how, when you get through with all of these analogies and you get to your debate and you wrestle with it, brother and sister, at the end of the day, you got to go through Christ.
Yeah.
There is no other way. Now, he shows the way, and you have to understand Jesus did this before he left here. He had made this declaration about this newly life that was going to happen. So Hebrews brings it out. Remember, matter of fact, let's read, if you will, Revelations 1 and 18. Let's just see this. And I'm just trying to make my point about the real way, brothers and sisters. Stop thinking the way is Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. Well, you know, I'm part of apostolic faith. I'm part of Jehovah's Witness. Brother and sister, calm down, man. You got to be part of Christ. So let the other stuff go. Let it go.
Yeah.
You're in Christ. The only way. Because he is the way. In Revelations 1 and 18, he says, I am he that liveth and was passing and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And from the Message Bible, I am first, I am last. I'm alive. I died, but I came to life, and my life is now forever. See these keys in my hand? They open and lock death doors. They open and lock hell's gates. Amen.
He says, the mysteries of the seven stars which thou showest in my right hand. He says, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And these seven candlesticks which thou sowest are the seven churches. Now, I know I could probably stay right there all day and camp out. Let me tell you what. These were not buildings. Just know they were not buildings. These were church. There was an attitude. And then I had to really get in and talk about their certain different groups and what the attitudes were. And this, when you're talking about the seven churches in Asia Minor, you were seven different groups. They were not, some people try to associate them with denomination. You can't, brothers and sisters. These were seven churches that had seven different attitudes. And I'm not going there today, but if you just put it on the back burner, we'll go there and we'll talk about these different attitudes. Some was, because sometimes I see it now, some people say they love the Lord, but they're neither hot nor cold, so God said, spit you out of my mouth. Some of them are not faithful to the truth, and some people are. So I was talking about attitudes, but anyway, that's a whole nother. That's Revelations 1 and 20, Pastor, in case you want to read that. That was Revelation 1 and 20. I just, the Lord just told me to go there, so I went there.
All right, praise God. And from the Message Bible, now write down everything you see, things that are, things about to be. The seven stars you saw in my right hand, and the seven branches, gold menorah. Do you want to know what's behind them? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the menorah, seven branches are the seven churches. Amen.
Yeah. So we were not going to talk about it today, but there's a mystery. I had said on yesterday, I wanted to deal with some facts. And that's one of the facts, brothers and sisters, that you have to know, which I think first and foremost, is that you have to be in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Christ. Amen.
Is the end of the law. For righteousness to every, so he end all of that. He have control over that. Christ have control over that. He could not sit down beside God until it had been dealt with. Now I'm going to give you an interesting point. God, after man got kicked out the garden, which that was a spiritual place he was at as well, but he got kicked back to the earth and had to live here. God really, man had not seen God. God have always had something between him and man. He had used angels. Because God wasn't dealing with sin. Even today, God don't deal with sin. The only way he can see you is through Christ. God had prophets. The closest thing came to seeing God was Moses. And over there in Exodus 13, I believe, he saw the backside, but he still didn't see God. Still didn't see God.
Mm-hmm.
So God never could deal with, and he never had to, because he already knew what sin was about. He knew what Satan was about. And so he never had to deal with sin, and never will deal with it. Because when Christ came, Christ dealt with it. He took on all of what sin did and declared before God and the universe that he had accomplished every goal that had been set, every law in the universe Christ had accomplished. For sin, if anybody could live and live through sin, they had conquered it. So that was not available for everybody, but it happened. Right. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to read, if you will, Pastor. I want to say. Okay, did I hit the wrong button? Okay. The fact of the matter is 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18. Let's read that. This is a fact, brothers and sisters. It has to become a reality.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
And from the King, from the King. Okay. Second Corinthians 5:17-18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen.
God, and this is a fact, brothers and sisters, and this is what you got to come to know. This is a fact.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And really, this is probably one of the most, when you think about how priceless this is, how priceless this is, this is vital, brothers and sisters. Do you realize how vital this is?
Yeah,
he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ. You want to read that out the Messenger Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
I know y'all hear us say this all the time, but brother and sister, I'm going to tell you, God has showed me this, and we may get into it in a minute, but can you read this out of the Messenger Bible, please?
Yes, Pastor. From the Message Bible, now we look inside and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life comes from God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. Amen.
Okay. Listen, brothers and sisters. He is a new creation. The old are passed away. That has to become a reality.
Amen.
You know what? I'm going to share this because God had gave me this. He said that this new creation is a miracle. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
But that's who he is. God is a miracle-working God. It's a miracle. Christian really think about it. God allowed the secret to be revealed through the Pauline books. Okay, because when you think about it, these scientists and philosophers and psychiatrists, all these people have long thought what was the inner man. They've written many books about the inner man. How can the spirit be recreated? It was a miracle that God could get inside a man. I mean, you got to see the focus of God's great redemptive work on earth. You got to see this, man. Satan thought we were defeated because he had gotten Adam to disobey, but he had no clue of the second Adam and what he was going to do and how firm and how focused he was going to be on God's word. And that's what God wants for us today is to be that focused. So the gospel, it's a wonderful picture of the loving man of Galilee, the humble Messiah who walked in love and shed his blood for us. But it's through this epistle that give us the risen triumphant one. See before the Pauline epistle, we saw a defeated Christ. I mean, yeah, he did some miracles, but it's only through this writing that we find the triumphant Christ, the one who conquered death. See, that's why in Revelation you read he had the keys of hell and death. He had them because he conquered it. He conquered sin and he conquered Satan.
All right, say that.
He really is. It's through the Pauline epistles that we get the real essence of the cross and what really happened in the tomb. But all of that took place before. And you might ask, what has that to do with us today? Listen, brothers and sisters. It affect you today unless you get in Christ. Because if not, you still under the old way.
Amen.
Because only through the Pauline epistle, it teaches who we are in Christ. It teaches the new creation. It teaches us the legal side, the triumphant side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It teaches us to give us a life picture of the entire substitutional work of Christ. And that's what the Pauline epistle does. It explains how accepting Jesus Christ into our heart. And that's a whole nother ball game right there. I realize we didn't really get into all this, but I want you to know it's more than just a bunch of words. Brother and sister, you are inviting God to your house.
Hallelujah.
And he decided to come in. And how you going to treat him is real important. You don't invite somebody to your house and you should. No, when you invite them, you treat them like you give them the best.
That's right. Amen.
But where you get that from, Pastor? Remember it says to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the only commandment that Christ left. He left the two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself and you invite them, you're going to give them your biggest. You're going to give them the best.
Yeah.
You have the best. So you say, well, wait a minute. I got to love them like I love myself. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm going to love them like I love myself. I'm going to give them the best. Yeah.
All right.
Think about it. When you give somebody, if you ever give anybody anything, and you give them the worst, think about it. You have a conscience, and that conscience bothers you and say, you know what? You should have gave them this, and you should have did this, and you should have did that. Now, let me tell you what. When God, he gives his best. He gave his only begotten. He didn't have another one that's only begotten son.
Yeah.
The only one he's going to ever have in the flesh came through Jesus Christ. So he gave us the best that heaven had to offer. But hopefully, and we're going to be over a few minutes. We're running over, but I just wanted to share some things. You have to get the reality. It's vital. It is as vital as oxygen is to your life. It is as vital as gas to a gasoline engine. Water won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
It is vital as electricity is to a light bulb. It's vital.
Yeah. Ooh.
Here you try to breathe without oxygen. It ain't going to work, man.
Amen.
You will die. So that's how vital it is to be in Christ. It is very important that we recognize this fact, that all that has been wrong for us, and I got to say this, is how Satan and the teaching and all of that. Well, now, bless God, Christ righted the wrong for us. God righted the wrong for us. How did you do that? Through Christ, in his substitutionary sacrifice, belonged to the each and every believer. Hey, brother, mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't tell you what to believe. I can't tell you how to believe. I can't make you do anything. All I can do is put the words up there. God limit himself to you acting on the word of God. A lot of people are healed right now because Satan have gave them this fear. Well, if I say this or if I do this, see, that's Satan's stuff. You mm-hmm. declare and decree that by his stripes you are healed and leave it. And wait.
Amen.
Wait patiently. Yeah. See, these are facts, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 1, and we may get into it tomorrow, but I'm going to throw a couple of scriptures out to you. Because it's a fact. Because in Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, it is a part of that great, I'm going to say, character of redemption. And this is both legal and vital. It's a fact, brothers and sisters. He revealed what he did for us. When you go back and read it, you'll see. Now, it's up to you to believe he did it or not. See, you may not believe 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Jesus to be sin. You may not believe Jesus really became sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may have a sin conscience. That's on you. But you got to start believing what God's word says. You got to put that word above what you think and what you feel. Well, I don't feel like my sin been taken away. Well, keep on feeling it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Your feelings won't determine God's way and God's path for you. Your feelings won't determine that. It's what his word says. So in Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, he reveals his process of dealing with new and living way, the very nature and life of the Father into our spirit. Wow, I just think that's so awesome. He invited himself, and then he made us to be conformed. And when you get a chance, we'll read it tomorrow, and we'll pick it up there tomorrow. But it's according to the working of his mighty power. God did this. Raymond did this, which he wrought in Christ, the Bible says. When he raised him from the dead, that's a miracle. That in itself is a miracle. He did that so we can be part of this new process. But I'm going to leave right there, and we'll pick it up on tomorrow.